Hello there, fellow human or alien. Everyone is welcome. We don't judge around here. This is Amy.
This is E.
And you're listening to Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. As always, are happy to be here with you today. Did you check out our new website yet? It's so beautiful. I'm so proud of us. Did you buy any merch? Do it, wear it, stick it. There's so many great things on there. You can access all the places, all the links, all the stuff. Tag us in your stories when you do order things because I want to see everybody wearing them. So pumped. We really love and appreciate any and all support that you give to us. More engagement from you all means more abilities to add fun and cool things down the line. So, do it.
I'm so excited.
I want to. We all want to.
I cannot wait to just, like, show off some Curse Words and Crayons swag around. And something about having a website feels so fucking official. Like, why didn't we do this years ago? Because I don't know how to build a website, and Amy does, and she did a fabulous job. But that's also probably why I just don't want to put anything extra on my plate. But here we are, and we have a website, and it's great, and we have merch.
Love it.
Drop.
Yes. So keep tuned in for any and all other exciting things happening. We can't wait to hear what you think. Do we have a show and tell today, my friend?
We do, and if you don't menstruate, you might just want to, like... You know, just a slide on down, maybe 2 minutes or so, because this is for our menstruating individuals.
You probably know somebody who menstruates, though. And
100%.
I just want to let you in. Like, I'm not one that, like, wants to talk about, like, menstruating all the time, but it is something that happens. So if you are,
we should,
like,
normalize it. It's not a big deal. Like, it's just part of our bodies. Yeah, yeah, you need to grow up. Yeah, exactly. Not you, yeah. Amy, just the person who is, like,
for sure,
so about it. Like, if you refuse to go and buy your wife or your partner pads and tampons, like, just get the fuck out of here. I was lucky enough in high school, my high school boyfriend set that standard off where I was, like, so holed up one day that he was like, oh, yeah, I'll go and get them. And I was like, oh, the chivalry. But honestly, yes, so kind, but kind of the bare minimum. You should just be willing to do that. Also, maybe pick up a hydration, something with electrolytes.
A little treat.
Yes, menstruation, totally normal, nasty stuff. In traditional tampons, in traditional pads, they bleach them. Why do you want bleach all up in your lady parts? You know, things that touch your skin, they, like, soak into your skin. It's your biggest organ. They lots of pores. Da 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 da. If it's important what you eat, then it should also be important what you're putting on your skin. If you're all, like, drunk elephant retinol girly, you know, over there, then, like, don't put bleach on your vagine. That is not kind. Treat your lady garden better. However, I don't like my cloth pads anymore. They shift. They're not great. And you know what also I found out, and this isn't for the cloth pads because those were handmade. Like, I chose it from a small Etsy shop, but this is just in general. You know that they hadn't tested menstruation products with actual menstruation blood until, like, the last year, that they had used, like, synthetic blood, regular bloods, or just, like, different liquids to see how much liquid it could hold. If you
That's
menstruate,
a whole other
you,
ball game. Yeah.
Thank you. I wish to God that this is what you hear that water. I wish that that's, well, I don't wish because that would be Niagara Falls. But do you get what I'm saying? Like, it's just not the same. Okay. Pouring water on a pad, pouring water on a tampon is not the same.
That's crazy to me. I didn't realize that. And I guess looking back, it totally makes sense because I'm sure that men are the ones creating tampons.
Yes.
I know nothing about creating tampons or pads,
like,
or whatever.
Those jaggedy little things that you're just supposed to, with the insert, with the tampons, I can't anymore with tampons. They're so uncomfortable. I can't even wear them for an hour. And that's even after all of my, like, PT exercises and stuff like that, like, for my pelvic floor. But anyway, so I have not been loving the pads because they're, like, slipping and sliding all over the place. Traditional pads have gross ingredients. Tampons are a no for me. Again, I don't like the cup. I'm not going to figure that out. I don't want to boil things on the stove that aren't – I don't even want to cook for my kids, so I don't want to cook for my vagine, okay? In comes bamboo period panties. And they are so soft and they are so absorbent. And I feel like every postpartum woman needs them. I jumped on the trampoline for a little bit at my friend's house and peed my pants slightly. Mm-hmm. No problem. Not a problem. You know, not a big pee, okay? Because right, do your pelvic floor
a little, yeah.
But just, I was jumping. I didn't use the bathroom beforehand. I was menstruating. Just all the things. Yeah. You see all up in there. And everything was fine. Everything was good to go. These bamboo period panties can hold up to four tampons. Uh-huh. So I'm 100% getting them for overnight, and they at least. And I think I'm going to transition during the day. I felt very comfortable. I know some of the biggest fears are like, how do I know when to change it? Like, you'll know. But also, I didn't feel like squishy or unhygienic. And I also got like darker colors. So that helps, I think.
Yeah.
With just feeling hygienic because, again, it's absorbing. It's doing what it's supposed to do. Right, stain doesn't, like, whatever. Anyway, so I'm going to link them in our storefront. And I think they are a great product. I think that any that has your preteen, they make all different cuts too. So they have boy shorts, briefs, thongs, like anything that you could want. You can also get the Thanks panties. I did bamboo because it is more of the earth. They were cheaper.
Sure.
They were cheaper. And, and that's honestly why I got them, because it's very hard for me to spend $20 on a pair of panties when I get mine normally off of Parade with my affiliate league for like $5 a pair. So I can get four pairs of great panties that I love shipped to my house for $20. So it's hard to pay $20 for one, but I'm telling you, they're worth it. They're great. I'm a big fan. I've already bought multiple. I got the boy shorts and then I have just the briefs. I'm not a thong girly anymore. Should we talk about crimes and not period blood? Should we do that? Specifically, about Krista Pike. Have you heard of her? Because I had not, but she was on our list of suggestions. So obviously I had at some point in time, or somebody had suggested them. Mm-hmm. She's pretty far down. She is so unhinged, so unhinged. If she didn't murder somebody though, I would really appreciate the whiplash that she gave everybody, changing her mind every few seconds. Like, so many things that we are going to be talking about. Like, did she want to be lethally injected or did she not? Who's to say? Did they overrule her sentencing or did they add to it? Which one did she want? I don't know. Did she want the, like, we're going to get into all of that. And she is a lady killer. She's bringing all of the baggage and she's going to keep us on our toes.
Can't wait to talk about it. She is a new lady killer to me. So let's hop right into it. Krista Pike. She was born in 1976, so she's a recent girly. She is not, this is not a Belle Gunness, which is, you know, our fave. So 1976, she was born to Carissa Hansen and Emil Pike, and she was born in West Virginia. Not saying anything about people that are born in West Virginia, but you hear a lot of, like, not so great things.
Krista and Carissa, though, those are the people from West Virginia that you would suspect, because Krista and Carissa sounds like the most adorable mother-daughter duo.
That's true.
Personally.
It does. It does. It's very
like they probably curl the ends of their hair and their ponytails. Mm-hmm. Utah mom.
Right. Yes. Yes. A Utah mom. So her parents had a tumultuous relationship. It wasn't great. They were married for 2 years. They were divorced for 1 year. Follow me in this journey. After Carissa, the mother, was found cheating. Then she attempts suicide and old Emil, the dad, thought he would give it another go. So they get remarried again and they're married for another 2 years. They had a lot of ups and downs, lots of marital issues. Both of them were frequently negligent with Krista. An aunt once mentioned that often little baby Krista would be crawling around through piles of dog poop that were like all over the house, which is so.
No, thank you.
I feel like if you have animals in your house and you have small children, you just have to be so careful with like where their stuff is, their food, their poop, like everything. It's gross. And I'm not saying like but we don't have dog poop on our floor.
Yes. I remember going to an elementary school sleepover and one of my girlfriends had small dogs and their family let them like rabbit poo, basically. All I vividly remember that, and I think I was like 11. And yeah. I can't imagine. Y'all, you could get sick from that. I mean, it's just, it's important.
Right.
I'm saying that with as I get to sit on my high horse because I have no animals. I just have the children. Okay.
Right.
So this is me. This is
that a pet could get a poop on the floor and it be like a thing, but to be crawling around in it, you've got a crawler. No, it's not. It's not mm-hmm. good. Krista was also diagnosed with a seizure disorder when she was a toddler, and apparently Krista was out partying at the time that she found out about the seizure condition, and she couldn't even be bothered to stop. Not exactly my choice of activities when finding out my child is very ill. It's truly, truly, like, heinous. She's not a nice mom. She doesn't seem like a very good person. Krista's paternal grandmother would frequently care for her, but Krista often said that she believed that her grandparents on her dad's side were the only ones who ever loved her. And when her grandmother died, she was 12, and this is the first time that Krista makes a suicide attempt. And it sounds like there's just a lot happening. So you think about if you've known anybody or have ever attempted suicide, you know, there's a lot of support that's needed afterwards, and she's not getting the support she needs. So her living situation continues to be unstable throughout her teenage years, as she was both the recipient and the perpetrator of violence. For instance, one of her mother's boyfriends punched her in the face. Great. Awesome. Criminal charges were filed and then settled. But then she went to go stay at her father's new family. So dad and mom are split. Dad has a new family. One of her young half-sisters claimed to have been molested by Krista, causing her father to then send Krista away. She additionally claimed to have been sexually assaulted or molested at several points in time. Her friends and family doubt that these occurrences happened, noting that she was a pathological liar. This is hard for me to hear because it sounds like she didn't have the best living environment. Also, that doesn't mean she wasn't molested.
Yes, 100%. And just because somebody doesn't believe you doesn't mean that you're not saying the truth.
Right.
And maybe she is a pathological liar. How else is she going to get attention? How else is she going to get attention? Amy and I were joking about this the other day, but sometimes when I really don't feel well, I'll just super go over the top with it so that way I get to rest, right? So, I mean, maybe she felt like that was the only way to be heard.
Yeah, it's sad.
She was crying out. She tried to kill herself, and they were like, meh, don't do that. So, yeah, she starts to act out in areas of violence. She was molested, so she molested. It just makes – It's awful. It also makes sense.
100%.
People who are hurt others. Mm-hmm. So she doesn't have a single good adult role model at home anymore. Her grandmother died. So this is all turning her into a killer, in my personal opinion. One thing I read during this time of her life that did put a smile on my face in a sick and twisted way was a man phoned her claiming that he was going to rape her. And in response, Krista and a friend beat him with a stick in a parking lot. Yeah, fuck him up.
I mean, what do they call that? Fuck around and find out. Like, you, let's go, brother. I do support that.
Exactly. Don't tell me that you're going to rape me unless you want me to beat you with a baseball bat. Sorry, you gave me fighting words, and so I responded. Although she'd been bright as a child, her unstable home life caused her to frequently change schools, caused her performance in schools to deteriorate, which again, makes sense. If you're feeling really sad for her, yeah, I am too. This woman had a really bad life. She's also going to turn into a shitty person, so just...
Right, buckle up.
It's all about... Exactly, but this is the nature of the beast, unfortunately. Like, she was nurtured into this, I feel. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%. Now, I will say, and we've said this in other cases, just because you have a shitty childhood doesn't mean that you have to become a murderer, a molester, a rapist.
Oh, for sure.
You don't have to do that. But it's definitely easier for me to understand when I'm like, well, shit, nobody was there for her as a kid, and that sucks.
That's how she felt. Love was supposed to be communicated.
She didn't know what love was at all. She didn't know that love, like, she's
exactly.
not communicating love. She's communicating the only thing she knows, which is hatred and neglect.
So true. In the 10th grade, she was sent to a juvenile facility, so did juvie, where she became interested in Job Corps, and that is a government program aimed at helping low-income youth by offering job training, career skills, that kind of stuff. In the fall of 94, so 1994, she attended the now-closed Job Corps Center in Knoxville, Tennessee, and she began dating a man a year younger than her, but he's not really a man. These are still children because it is the 10th grade, so they're 16, 17, maybe even 15.
I think it all depends because Job Corps is a really cool program. I have some friends that have worked for Job Corps before, and it's neat, especially if the kids like are committed and they do their thing.
And but they go up into college too.
It does. So some of the people she was surrounding herself with could have been older young adults or older teenagers. But at this point, she herself is in 10th grade. So she's like a baby. She's a baby.
And he's a year younger. And his name is Tardell. Yeah. It's T-A-D-A-R-Y-L. But I'm going to refer to him by his last name in that ship.
Just
with
ship.
Two P's, okay? Yes. So together they develop an interest in the occult and devil worship. Y'all know this is the beginning of the end. However, I will say, yes, I also knew those people. I was also part of the burnout crew, so I get it. I get it. Sometimes you get into weird stuff. It's okay. It's okay.
It doesn't mean you have to kill people. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Just are into you're into the occult and things. Just, you don't have to kill people. Don't do it.
You don't.
It's not nice.
So she's meeting people in this Job Corps class and like this program that she's in, and she becomes jealous of one of her classmates. Her classmate is a 19-year-old Colleen Slemmer, who she thought was trying to steal her boyfriend from her. Friends of Colleen's denied the accusations, and along with another friend, so there's going to be a lot of friends involved in this portion of the case. Her name was Shadala Peterson. She was 18. Krista and Tadaryl, the boyfriend, and Shadala. So many hard names. This is mean that you picked a case with all these names. She was 18. They planned to lure Colleen to an isolated abandoned steam plant near the University of Tennessee campus. They've got a plan. It's bullying. We're not standing for it. It's rude. So on January 12th in 1999, Krista, Tadaryl, Shadala, and Colleen signed out of the dorms. So apparently part of this Job Corps experience is they live in like dormitory style living, much like, I guess, like a boarding school, I guess. And they went into the woods. Colleen had been told that they wanted to make peace and opted to do this in the form of marijuana. So Krista had said, I want to make a peace offering. Let's go get high in the woods. So Colleen's like, I'm in. I'm there. Let's do it. They ended up in an isolated location in the woods. Christine was attacked by Krista and the others, while Shadala served as a lookout. As if this case wasn't graphic enough, McTrigger warning, for the next 30 minutes, Colleen was taunted, beaten, and slashed. A pentagram was carved into her chest, and Krista smashed Colleen in the head with a large chunk of asphalt, killing her. But then Krista keeps a piece of the skull. Yuck. Don't. Why? I get the whole like.
And you're a fucking idiot. Like,
right.
don't
keep a
piece
find...
of her fucking skull.
Right. But not only is she just holding on to it for keepsake, she starts showing off the piece of skull around school. So
yeah,
around
she's
30.
17, 16. She's a dumbass. She's like, oh, I'm such a badass. Look at what I just did. No,
which,
you're not a badass. You're
I just
awful.
Don't know of very many people that are going to be like, that's awesome.
Wow.
I love your piece of skull. So this takes 36 hours. They're arrested. So somebody was like, I'm not having the skull situation. We got to tell a grown up. So great. The logbook showed that all the teens had left together, but only three of them had come back. Detectives found the piece of the skull in Krista's jacket pocket. The suspects' rooms were searched, and a copy of the Satanic Bible was found in Tadaryl's room. Soon
it's
after
screaming
her.
Screaming like Slender Man.
Yeah, very.
Very children.
Lifetime.
Stop it.
Like teenage bullying. Like, but this is real life. Like, this is something that actually really happened, which is like.
Very death of a cheerleader.
Yes, it seems like this is a movie. Oh, yeah.
With Tori Spelling? Oh, awful.
Gotta love some Tory spelling. Krista confesses to the police of the torture and killing of Colleen, but insisted that they were just trying to scare her and it got out of control. I mean, that's a lot of out of control. You're carving pentagram.
And then, I just accidentally carried her skull around with me for days to fucking brag about it.
Left her in the woods.
Ha ha ha. Oops.
JK. Sorry. Sorry that that happened. So she was charged with first-degree murder and conspiracy to commit murder. And in March of 1996, on March 22nd, only a few hours after deliberation, she was found guilty on both counts. People are not having it. They're like, you're guilty. On the 30th of March, she was sentenced to death by electrocution for the murder charge and 25 years in prison for the conspiracy charge. Todaro received a life sentence with the possibility of parole plus 25 years. And Shadala, who had turned into an informant for the police, received probation for pleading guilty to being an accessory after the fact.
So Georgia is doing this thing now where they're doing a different form of lethal injection. And I read, or maybe it's not Georgia, but it's one of us podunk-ass states down here in the South.
It's Georgia.
I say that. Okay. So I read the transcript, I think. So I read the transcript of this man, the first man that was sentenced to death and using this new thing, right? I read that he convulsed for like 4 straight minutes or convulsed for a couple minutes and then had really, really heavy breathing for another 5 to 6 minutes or something like that. I think the whole process of him dying took 10 minutes. I really thought that was like an instant thing. I really thought that it was like amnesia, not amnesia. That's the wrong, whatever. I thought it was like when you get put to sleep
anesthesia.
When you're having a surgery. Okay.
Anesthesia.
Thank you. I thought it was like that where like, you know, no, apparently like, when I read the transcript, I cried because I knew he had suffered, as awful and weird and conflicting as that felt, I knew he had suffered for his entire, like, last 10 minutes of his life. And I don't think that I'm on board with the way that we kill, like, off with their heads, like, shoot them in the face. Like, let's do an not that you would shoot, that's awful too, but like, it just seems so much more foul. I feel like I might sit on a different fence now.
It's almost torturous to me. Like, I mean, you're being put to death.
I get what they did.
Like, I get it.
But like, is the anticipation and anxiety that leads up to that not enough?
But also, why do we have to keep coming up with ways to murder people, like to kill people on death row? Like, can't we just use lethal injection? And like, I'm not a huge proponent of the death penalty, but I also like,
but
don't
that's what they use. They use a new lethal injection on that guy. And that's what took 10 minutes. So that's not okay.
That was with the new like nitrogen, whatever.
I don't know. Yeah.
But why do we need to come up with a new thing?
But was the old one good too? Because I didn't read any transcripts on how long it had took on the old one. Was that okay? Is this ethical or is this unethical? And I feel like in the Georgia case, that is unethical. And that is against my personal stance on, like, I'm not a big religious person. But if I was Jesus, very sacrilegious, but if I was Jesus and you were the person that decided that, straight to jail, straight to hell, you know, like, I just feel
I don't like that.
Do you get what I'm saying? So yeah. I don't know. The electrocution, I don't think is any better because they say that they can smell you burning like that.
You're being set on fire. Like, that's not
from the inside.
Yeah. I feel like we could do an entire episode on the death penalty because we went from everywhere from the guillotine to hanging to now nitrogen being, I don't.
Well, and of course I'm inserting this like moral dilemma into our like 155 minute episode that's already happening because this case again is not so okay.
Yeah.
So we'll just go back to the timeline. We can discuss this, I guess, at a later date. I don't feel good about it anymore. And I just wanted everybody to know because that's, you're here for my opinions or get out. You're here for Amy's opinions or get out.
Yeah,
exactly.
For sure.
So in June of 2001, and then again in June of 2002, against the advice of her lawyers, Krista asked the court to drop her appeal and she sought to be executed via electrocution. Why? Why? Unless she was just feeling so guilty.
Well, either so guilty or maybe she just couldn't. Like, maybe life is hard for her in prison. I don't know. There's lots of reasons, but it could have been for attention. I mean, there's so many. I don't know. And I never saw anything that said, like, this is why she wanted to do that. Sometimes I just think your brain broke and you just don't know.
100%. Like, again, I think I said this, like, every episode since forever. I wish I could tell people why my anxiety made me do things. I wish I could tell myself why I did things when I got anxious. But the criminal court judge granted the request and they set an execution in 2002. It was all set. She changed her mind. And on July 8th of 2002, defense lawyers filed a motion to allow the appeal process to continue. And the motion was denied. On August 2nd, 2002, a three-judge state appeal court panel ruled that the proceedings should continue and the execution to not carry out. So in 2008, in December in 2008, her lawyers, again, this is all like so convoluted back and forth, but Krista's lawyers requested a new trial that was turned down. She was returned to death row. Fast forward to August 27th, 2020. And the Tennessee Attorney General, they requested that the Tennessee Supreme Court set an execution date for Pike. And because of COVID, they granted the extension and they allowed them to have more time. That's also why she was not executed then. And then on June 7th, 2021, her attorneys filed a motion. This is, again, in Tennessee. They filed a motion to oppose the execution date and to request.
Apparently, it's when the president can commute or reduce a sentence imposed by the federal court. So it reduces the punishment for the crime. That's what they were looking to reduce her sentence, I guess.
And this is again, okay, so she filed in June of 2001. She filed again in July. They had come back and they had said something. And this is again. And so they filed the motion and the court was expected to decide on the matter as to whether or not she could be executed or if her sentence was to be commuted. And if she is executed, she would be the first woman to be executed in Tennessee in roughly about 200 years. So she ran out of appeals in Tennessee, which is why this is so confusing. And like legal matters are legal matters, right? So that's how many? One, two, there's like four or five times she tried to do that over there in Tennessee. And then she tries to, in 2014, her lawyers enter an appeal in the federal court system, and her lawyers sought to reduce her sentence from death to prison because they said that she had ineffective counsel, she suffered from mental illness, capital punishment in Tennessee is unconstitutional, which, yes, however, she asked for it. It's very back and forth. And then in a 61-page ruling by the U.S. District Judge Harry S. Matisse Jr. was issued on March 11th, 2016, all grounds were rejected and the request was denied. So they were not having her bullshit and they did not rule in her favor.
So basically, all of these things happened, and every time the court shut it down, the court was like,
yes,
no.
It, That's the whiplash back and forth. She asked to be electrocuted. They said no. She asked to reduce her sentence. They said no. She asked to increase her sentence. They said no. Like, it was such a back and forth. And they not only filed all of those things in Tennessee, but then they ran out of things to file in Tennessee. They couldn't file any more appeals. So then they started going to the federal government.
Right. And at one point she said, I want to be executed, and then said, never mind, I don't want to be executed. So
yeah, you can't do that. That's like a big deal.
Yes. So after all of the back and forth appeals, but before they officially said you're done, on August 24th in 2001, Krista, with allegedly the assistance from another inmate named Natasha Cornett, attacked and attempted to strangle another inmate, Patricia Jones, with a shoestring, and nearly succeeded in choking her to death. She was convicted again from prison, first-degree murder, on August 12th, 2004. And although it is the position of the Tennessee Department of Corrections that Natasha, who is the other inmate, helped to assist with the crime, they don't have any evidence to charge her with helping Pike. So
she's like, LOL, I want to be electrocuted, and I'm going to beat the shit. I'll try to kill another inmate.
With a shoestring.
Just kidding. Please actually know that's unconstitutional and you should know better. Wait, ma'am, what?
Yes. So, are you ready for the next installment of what's Krista going to do next?
Possibly.
In March of 2012, she starts to make a plan to escape. And she is working with a corrections officer named Justin Heflin and a New Jersey man named Donald Cahut. It had never been determined how it exactly began, but Donald was a personal trainer. He was in his early 30s. He entered into like a pen pal situationship with Krista, and that began around 2011.
Do you think in her head she called him Donald Canut because that's what – do not nut, do not canut because that's what his name kind of looks like.
You're 12 years old. Great job.
Sorry. You're welcome. You laughed too. So.
I did because I'm also 12 years old. So welcome. So by July of that year, our boyfriend Donald was making the close to 800-mile by car round trip from Flemington, New Jersey to Nashville to visit Krista in person on visiting days once or twice a month. That is commitment. That lady's got a chokehold on that guy. It's so much. I would be like, never mind. I can't do this anymore. So eventually, Donald communicated a plan for her to escape to Krista. So this was kind of his idea. And they enlist the help of a corrections officer who agreed to participate in return for cash and gifts, which, rude, don't do that. Because of security concerns, the Department of Corrections didn't release any details because, hi, I'm not going to give you the plan to get out of jail. That doesn't sound like a good idea. But they eventually unsealed the indictment that laid out the scenario where a prison key would be traced and then duplicated. And in early 2012, prison personnel received information about the escape plot. So they were going to create a key, which I was so wishing that they would be like digging themselves out with like a spoon. That's really the only proper way to escape a prison.
Or blow off the walls like they do in Harry Potter, Prisoner of Azkaban.
Love it. So this led to the attempted prison break being thwarted by a joint investigation involving the Department of Corrections and the Tennessee Bureau of Investigations, as well as the New Jersey State Police. According to the Bureau of Investigation, the plan was not very far along when uncovered, and the jailbreak was not imminent. So they were not really succeeding on what was going on with this. So in March of 2012, Donald gets arrested and charged with bribery and conspiracy to commit escape, while Justin, the corrections officer, was arrested and charged with bribery, official misconduct, and conspiracy to commit escape. Krista was not charged.
So this is why she didn't file for any appeals between 2008 and 2020 because she was busy trying to prison escape.
Right. And now she's got herself a boo. And also she's like murdering people inside the prison, which, girl, get it together. Get it together. So it was unclear to the investigators if she was a participant in the conspiracy or she was just made aware of it. So I guess that depends on, like, being charged, whether, like, if you're trying to break out of prison or I'm trying to break you out of prison and I say, hey, Z, I'm going to break you out of prison. And then you're like, okay, like, whatever. But I'm doing all the heavy work. Maybe you don't get in trouble. But you could have see something, say something, my friend. You could have also told somebody that you were, that this was happening. So Donald was sentenced to 7 years in prison, the time to be served at the Tennessee State Northeast Correctional Complex. And Justin, who cooperated with authorities after his arrest, served no prison time, but was terminated from his job with the Department of Corrections, which, hello, thank you. Duh. Don't let
That's
him keep his job.
The least.
No kidding.
Yeah, the least.
So in August of 2020, the Attorney General's office requested the Supreme Court set an execution date for Pike. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Pike's attorneys were granted the extension by the court, allowing more time to argue as to why Krista should not be executed. And the state did not oppose the extensions.
On June 7th of 2021, Krista's attorneys filed a motion to oppose the execution date, and the court is still expected to decide. Again, she will be the first woman to be executed in Tennessee in roughly 200 years. If so, and that's the end of it. The back and forth of this case is absolutely nutso.
It's just like, and another thing. Oh, yeah, and another thing. Oh, and I'm going to try to escape. And I'm going to strangle somebody with a shoelace.
And it's so convoluted. Like, how many appeals do you file? You murdered someone. You took their skull around and bragged about it. But you're going to file for appeal multiple times? You made my eyes cross trying to read
all
the dates and what was happening. Like, come on, friend. I didn't even get to speculate wildly. That was no fun. And you're
zero
rude.
Speculation in this case. Zero.
Yeah,
it's an open
so
book.
Rude.
Really lame. You know, I wanna know all the speculating. So I found an article that was as recent as November of 2023. She still remains on death row. A judge denied her motion to reopen her appeal. So that is more recent than the end of, like, when the appeals were made. She is the only woman in Tennessee on death row, but she is the only woman and the last person sentenced to death that was 18 at the time of their crime. So there is some.
I didn't realize she was only 18. I know we talked about that extensively, and I feel silly now. Okay. I did not realize that she was only 18.
Yeah, so she was like baby child, but she was charged as an adult because she was an adult. I mean, you're not really an adult at 18, but, like, according to the law, you're an adult. Since she was only 18, but it just doesn't seem like she was making efforts to get better either. So that's kind of sad. It seems to me that Krista proved time and time again that she's having the day she deserves. And I will be keeping out for updates on this case for sure, because who knows what's going to happen next. So many things.
She's definitely having the day she deserves.
Agreed. So have a great week to everybody but Krista Pike. Thanks for joining us for another week, another case, another reason to take deep breaths and to try not to stab people. Until next time, goodbye.
Bye.